Hello and welcome to The Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're building, buying, or designing your next project, we got you covered here at The Home Building Hero. Coming to you live today from the Pella Windows and Doors Studio of Wisconsin. Hi, I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Home Building Hero. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. All right, I am here today with Dominic Rubino from The Profit Tool Belt. Dominic, welcome to The Home Building Hero. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be with you.
Yes, and you are coming all the way from Canada, right?
I am. This is where I live. Yeah.
Well, we got the international flair on the show. I love it. We've been in, we've had Ireland, we've had Australia, we've got Canada now. So yeah, we're international. I love it.
It's an international world. Yeah, there's no more borders.
Absolutely, especially with podcasting and Zoom and all that kind of great stuff. So to tease up the episode here, I wanted to ask you a quick question because you coach, you consult with contractors. Mm-hmm. What is the number one mistake that contractors make these days?
I would have to say it's the same mistake I made.
Okay.
Back 20 years ago when I started my first painting company. Oh no, longer than that. Sorry. 20 years would make me young. I'm old. It was the same mistake I made when I was younger, starting my own contracting business. I didn't track my numbers. It just seemed too big to get my head wrapped around, but I didn't realize there's only a few numbers I need to track. And that would have made all the difference earlier.
Perfect. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the episode. You can share a few of those for the trades. I'm sure they'll be eagerly awaiting that. But let's just start with, tell me a little bit about yourself, Dominic. Like, how'd you get involved in the construction industry and what's your background?
Well, thanks. So my background is kind of wide and varied. I kind of bounce off the edges all the time. As I mentioned, I had a construction business or a contracting business in painting. But actually before that, this is, that bridge between high school and getting into college, I had a company called the Yo-Ho-Ho Light Co. I installed.
You get an award for the name there.
I like to have fun. It was a Christmas light installation company. Actually, you know how your parents never really change your room when you leave? Sure. Well, we went back to my old bedroom and my wife pulled a poster off the wall. I still have, she framed it, of the original contracting business where I did Christmas lights. But then I went into corporate and I did a bunch of things that I thought you needed to do to be happy and successful, be a corporate guy. And it wasn't for me. And so I took a path of entrepreneurship, of business ownership. And as part of that, I have been working with contractors ever since. And so job sites and construction trailers and boardrooms, really, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. All around the world, I've been able to do this.
Yeah, you get to do a little bit of everything. And what specifically about the building industry really just grabbed you and made you gravitate towards that?
I get that question a lot. And I just have to say, it's just like my dinner table growing up as a kid, or the banquet table if we're at a family event, because all of my uncles, everybody's in construction of some sort, insert Italian family joke here.
There you go. Okay.
But it's a natural, normal conversation to me. And I, as a business coach, I've had a chance to work with lots of different kinds of businesses. I don't really like what you would call a white collar business. They don't make decisions. They hum and they haw. If I talk to a contractor and they disagree with me, they're going to tell me that second in the meeting. They're going to say, Dominic, you're full of you know what. But if they like it, they just take action. And I like that.
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about contractors is you're right. Normally, they're kind of the salt of the earth type people. They're going to be very straight up with you.
Straight up.
And and they like to work and they like to make things happen. So they're probably ideal clients from a coaching perspective, just because, they do want to get better. And I think the other thing that's interesting is, and we can talk about this further, but most contractors are really good at doing something, but that something usually isn't running a business, right? They're really good at painting, or they're good at doing carpentry work, or they're really good at, HVAC or whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Yeah. They're technicians, and there's a book and you're probably familiar with the book called The E-Myth Revisited.
Yeah. That's exactly the book I was thinking of.
Yeah. And Gerber. So it's written by Michael Gerber. It's a great book and everybody should read it because it separates that mindset that you're talking about from being the business owner to being the manager, to being the technician on the tools.
Yep. Absolutely.
Can I tell you a funny observation I had about that book?
Sure.
Let's hear it. First time I read it, I was pacing back and forth in our 2-bedroom townhouse. And my wife walked in and I was walking back and forth and she goes, what are you doing? And I said, well, this is the most painful book I've ever read. Cause I would read two pages of the book. I would close it and I'd beat it against my head. And then I would open it again and keep reading it. Cause I'm like, I'm making every mistake he talks about. And so I would say that book is a must read for everybody.
Yeah. That's almost like when people get a coach or they want to start to transform their business. That's like the first book I think anyone should read. And yeah. I've recommended it to a few trades. I do a TV show called YG Workshop where we help businesses. And I've mentioned that book several times because it's funny because you just see the same mistakes. We made them and then you see other businesses make them. And then once you're aware of it, you're like, oh, duh. Like,
yeah.
Why do I do that? So one of the other things that's interesting about you, Dominic, is that you're also a big podcaster. So let everyone know what the name of your show is and kind of what the main theme of your podcast is all about.
Sure. So I've got a show called The Profit Tool Belt. It's actually called Profit Tool Belt. And it's specifically for people in the construction and contracting trades. So it doesn't matter what business you're in. You know, you're a general contractor and land developer. Let's consider that, here in the discussion. And then all the subtrades that deal with that are also represented in the show because I talk about the business of the construction business. Now, if you like laughing like I do,
yep.
Then you're going to be surprised because I have a second podcast.
Let's hear it.
The second podcast is specifically for cabinet makers and architectural millworkers and furniture makers. And it's called Cabinet Maker Profit System.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
It's super niche.
It is super niche. And it is exactly what you mentioned. Really highly skilled technicians, people that are very, very good at finished wood products.
Absolutely. Yeah. It takes a certain mindset to want to be able to do that because like you can't take a rough carpenter and have them become a finished carpenter. They just don't get it. They're just, nothing looks right. And yet same, you can almost kind of reverse engineer it and you can't really make a finished carpenter, or a rough carpenter. They just can't handle it.
It's a different thing. Yeah. I can't even, the best analogy is right there. Right.
Yep. Yeah. It's just a total mindset shift for each. So, well, that's really neat too, because you know, what's cool about what you do is that you're serving different audiences, and especially there, that's an audience that's not maybe being catered to, and you know they have specific needs, and that extra expertise is, I'm sure, very valuable. So, like, what's something that a cabinet maker or like a finisher, what's some of the stuff that they struggle with, in your opinion?
It's the same thing as any business owner struggles with. So the cabinet maker is just one podcast. The other one is Profit Tool Belt, right? What we're talking about here is contractors, people who've gone out and given their word to somebody else that they're going to build or repair or make or fix or install something. And the thing that people struggle with is just putting simple systems in place. Because I'm the same, and I don't know if you are as well. It's easy to overcomplicate things.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. And I'm a big believer as well in systems. So I thought that was neat that we were going to have that conversation. But sometimes I do that too, where I'm like, I make something and I'm like, holy cow, why is this so complicated?
And it doesn't have to be.
Yep. Yeah. The best systems are the really simple ones, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you remember the TV show MASH?
I've seen it a bunch, but I it was always one of those where as a kid, I don't think I always
flipped
that one on, you know, that was kind of if nothing else was on.
Yeah. One of the things that I keep remembering about that show is whoever the guy in charge there was would always give stuff to Klinger. And Klinger was kind of the lazy guy who was the administrator of the base. And somebody asked him, why do you always give stuff to Klinger? And they said, because he's lazy and he'll find the shortest way to do something.
There you go.
And I always think about that line. And we always just I have to remind myself, how can I make this simpler and simpler and simpler? I still need the right outcome.
You know, yep.
The goal has to still be met. But how do I make it simple?
Yeah. So, you know, one of your things that you do is you have the 8 profit leaks that contractors have in their business. So what's, I don't want to have you spill all your stuff, but give us one profit leak that contractors have.
That is actually such a difficult question because everybody's got a different profit leak.
Okay.
But I would say that
what's your favorite?
Estimating.
Estimating? Okay.
Yeah. I would say estimating is one profit leak. And the reason I say that is because a mistake we make there echoes throughout the whole job.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because you can't catch up from that, can you? I mean, if you misestimate the job, it's really hard to make it up. And I know just myself working on homes, and I do some estimating, and yeah, you make a mistake and then you try and maybe get a little bit more on something else. And of course, then they don't take it, or they take something out, and all of a sudden you're just constantly behind the eight ball.
Yeah. If I can I give you one of the biggest takeaways when we're talking about that one profit?
Yeah. We understand that as a leak, but what do you recommend to fix it? How do you get around that?
And this is something people can do as soon as they're done listening to the episode, but sit down and what I do is an exercise called challenge your estimating assumptions. So I love this exercise. David, just go get a cup of coffee, turn off your phone, or go to a coffee shop, or sit in your truck if you can't get into the coffee shop, and look at your Excel spreadsheet. Look at the formulas, like look at every cell, and you'll realize, oh my goodness, we forgot taxes changed, you know, in the state. And now we're not charging appropriately for that, or product prices, we assume them and we're averaging the product price for something when we should be looking at it. You know, right now, if you look at the prices for just a 2x4, they're going through the roof. Maybe you or somebody in your company is making assumptions based on how it used to be and not updating it for today.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And, you know, I know one of the other things that a lot of people do is they assume markup is profit. And it's not, right? Because it doesn't account for the cost of your business. It doesn't account for the cost of your time. And I struggle with that with my team sometimes. We're like, hey, I marked that up 15%. I made you, 15%. I'm like, no, you didn't. You know, you might have made me 5%, you know. And
because they're not doing the actual math.
Yep. Yeah.
And so one of the things that I often hear back is they're saying, but Dom, nobody's going to pay what my actual price is. Like when I actually do the cost, it's scary. I don't want to charge that. And my answer back is, yes, you're right. You probably have the wrong client, because the cost is the cost. Otherwise, you're running your business and paying to do somebody's roof. You're paying to do their slab jacking or mold remediation or whatever your trade is. Doesn't matter. You're running this as a business. We want you to make money so you can stay in business, so you can come back and do service work, so you can employ people in the community, so you can take home money to your family. You're not supposed to be paying to do work for other people.
Correct. Is that why, do you think, because so many construction companies fail. I mean, I look back in my market alone over the last 20 years and how many builders are no longer around and how many contractors are no longer around. And it seems like the average length of a contractor in our market is like 5 to 7 years. And that's, you know, as long as they last. And do you think that's one of the major reasons why?
There obviously there's lots of reasons why, but one of them is they're not running it like a business. And not to focus on my show, but what I talk about on my show is how to be a business person who happens to be a contractor, not a contractor with a bunch of guys.
There you go.
It's a different, and I think David, you get that. It's a different mentality running it like a business.
Yes, absolutely. It's a mindset shift. And a lot of them just don't think that way. They grew up in that industry or that trade, and they're very, very good at it, but they didn't have the business schooling, or they just kind of, hey, I'm taking it over from XYZ person who gave it to me, and now what do I do with this thing?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, and I wonder if you had the same kitchen table that I did, but I think about the kitchen table a lot, not manufacturing the kitchen table. Yep. I think about what was the conversation at your kitchen table as you grew up, and I mean all the listeners.
Oh, sure.
I happened to grow up where my uncles and my dad, we're all talking about business at the kitchen table.
Yep.
Totally normal.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I had the same thing. Our building business is in the basement of our house when I grew up. So I was hearing about problem customers and this contractor not doing this and, you know, so-and-so. And yeah, you just kind of grow up absorbing it, and whether you really understood it at the time or not, but some of that just sticks in your brain and you remember those things. And fortunately, you know, we both had people that understood the business world a little bit as we grew up.
Right. And so if people who are listening to this podcast, if somebody's taken the time to listen to a podcast, they're already mentally looking for ways to learn new information. So kudos, congratulations to everybody doing that. But if you didn't grow up at a kitchen table where people talked about business in a, you know, in a proactive way, then go look for somebody who talks business so you could start getting that info. So listen to your show is my point.
Yep. Fantastic. Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for the shout out as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
We always want more listeners, right?
Yeah.
Help more people. Okay. So I love the, the eight profit leaks in your business. And you've also created something pretty interesting as well, which is 20 simple secrets. And again, I don't want to have you spill all your secrets. They can come to you for that. But why don't you give me, you know, at least two of them, and we'll talk about them a little bit further. What are some secrets that, you know, construction companies need to know that they're missing out on?
Well, I'll start in an interesting place where you might not expect me to start, but everything starts with mindset.
Okay. Love
it. It's my headspace. And I've got a saying that has become more and more important the older I've become, which happens every day. But what I say to myself when no one else is listening is what the world sees when everyone is watching.
There you go. Oh, I love that.
And so if I have negative self-talk, that flows over. The customers can feel it. My team, my crew, my vendors, they hear it, they feel it. And so there's something that I teach, and I've been teaching this for a very long time. It's about being above or below the line.
Yep.
In life.
You have above the line and below the line. And
yeah,
above the line is you take accountability, right, for what you do.
Isn't it amazing, David, that you and I have never talked about this before, but correct, we're both aligned.
Yes.
You know what? We're both lined up on that very same thing. I have to be the person who takes accountability, responsibility. I have a positive attitude. Below the line, and you probably know this.
Yep.
Blame.
Yep.
Excuse.
Denial.
Negativity,
hey, we nailed
scarcity,
it.
Scarcity.
Yep. Yep.
Right? And those things kill a company. And so the only place to start that is me as the owner. I have to demand above the line. I have correct to be above the line, and et cetera. So why don't you take over that piece of the because it sounds like you agree with that, me on that.
No, I love it. And that's the same, you know, the same thing. And we talk about this in our company as well. And it, you know, this kind of stuff, like the podcast and stuff, there's the law of attraction too, right? Where, you know, like-minded people find and connect with each other. And that's similar to how we have similar mindsets and, you know, living above the line. And we joke about that every once in a while in our office. And, you know, everyone has a bad day or we have a challenge that is tough and, you know, somebody's grumbling. It's like, hey, get above that line, you know, and you kind of joke a little bit and take a deep breath. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know, because the problem when you're below the line is you just get to the point where you start dwelling on the past and you're not moving forward. And it's a waste of time, quite honestly.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's a backwards mentality. You want to have a forwards mentality and be looking ahead and looking towards, you know, hopefully the next thing and how do you fix it? And learn from it and move on. And if you can have that mindset, you're automatically in a way better place.
Yeah, it's such a powerful thing. And so you asked me the question. I said, it starts with mindset. It doesn't matter what kind of contractor you are. And it doesn't even matter what your business is like today, you or me as the owner, we have to go and we have to start that attitude shift. It's all about attitude.
I think if you don't have the right attitude, it doesn't matter. You're not going to learn. You're not going to grow. You're not going to be able to develop your business if you don't have the attitude and be willing, you know, be coachable, right? If you're a coach, you got to find somebody that's coachable too, right?
Yeah. It's funny that a soft skill is the thing that drives the success of something so tangible. You know, if you're a framer, you turn around at the end of the day and you go, oh, we did the first floor. I did the stairs. I did the outside walls, whatever it is, right? You see it. Mm-hmm. But the thing that holds that company together is the culture, just like your favorite sports team. If it's got a bad culture, it's not going to do well this year.
Yeah. You can have a team with, you know, all-star players all up and down it, but if they don't get along and they hate each other and they're miserable every day, they're not going to win the championship.
No,
it's not going to happen. And that's why a lot of those teams that maybe aren't as talented come up and rise up and win.
That's right.
And I think that's a neat thing too, about the building industry is that, you know, like I'm not the biggest builder in town. We have some larger builders, yet we can beat those guys at their own game pretty often because, you know, it's the culture and the team and that kind of thing. You know, it's sort of the David versus Goliath mentality. And you don't have to be, there's no trophy for being the biggest guy in town.
No, you just have to be better and better at being you, your business, your way. That's the reason you start a business is not to be like somebody else, be like yourself. Yep.
Yeah. That's fantastic. So let's do one more. Let's talk about one more secret that you would share with a building company. We got mindset.
I'm going to go back to numbers.
Okay.
And so let me start by saying I'm not a numbers guy. Like you would never, ever tell me to do your books.
Yep. I agree. I'm the same way.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like doing accounting and not my thing.
Yeah. There's people for that. Right.
Yes.
And I need to trust those people. But the fact still remains that I only became successful in my businesses when I started to pay attention to the numbers. And so the next question I get is, okay, smart guy, what numbers do I track? How are you going to know, Dom? What do you know about my business? But I have a very quick exercise we can do here that your listeners can do as they're walking their dog or on the treadmill.
Yeah, I love it. People love like a takeaway. So let's do it.
Okay, so it's a two-part exercise. And I want you to put yourself in a specific mindset for each of these. And at the end of that little scenario I'm going to give you, I want you to write down some whatever your numbers are. Okay. So the first scenario is this. You've been working very hard for many, many years, and your wife's been begging you to go away on vacation with the family and to not work. And so you say, okay, honey, we're going to do it. And we go to Hawaii or Mexico or Bahamas, wherever you want to go. But let's just say Hawaii, because I love Hawaii.
Yep. There you go. Right?
So you're there for a week. It's the perfect vacation. Now, you have said to your wife, I'm not going to work the whole week, but honey, Wednesday at 1 o'clock, I need to make one phone call for 1 hour. And she agrees to that. So it's Wednesday. You're down at the beach with the kids. You're in your lawn chairs. You lean over, you give your sweet wife a kiss on the forehead and say, honey, it's 1 o'clock. I'm going to go up to the hotel room. I'm going to make one call back to the office for 1 hour. When you go up to your room, what are you going to ask the people back at the shop or on the crew? Right? Yep. Maybe they're on the cell phone on a job site. Maybe they're at a shop, whatever it is. What are those questions? And typically we hear the same things, right? What's going on? What are the problems? Did Bobby show up for work this week? did they drop off the lumber? Did they drop off the materials? Did the unit cooling units get, whatever it is, write those things down. That's exercise number one. Exercise number two, I'm going to take a completely different tack. Right now, I want you to, am I okay with this, David?
So far? Yeah, this is awesome stuff.
Okay. So exercise number two is a little bit more punchy to the gutty, if that doesn't offend anybody. I want you to imagine that you're in your office or you're in your truck and you get a phone call and it's from your best friend in business. And what I mean is, this is a guy or a woman that you started in the trades with and they went their way and you went your way. You've got ABC Co, they've got 123 Co. You deal with the same kind of customers. You do the same kind of work. You love and respect them. They're a great company and you always enjoy it when they win a job. You're okay because you know they're a good contractor. But your friend over there, his name is Bob. Bob calls you up and says, hey, Dominic, how you doing? I go, good. Good to hear from you. And Bob says, listen, my wife, Jenny, you know Jenny, you were at our wedding. And I go, yeah. He goes, Jenny's sick. The doctor gave her 6 months.
Wow.
I need to be by her side. She's my whole life. Dom, will you buy my company? And I think really long and hard about this. And I want you to think hard about it too, folks. What are the questions you're going to ask Bob before you will buy his company? Write those questions down. What are your sales? What's your crew like? What's your upcoming work? What are those? I'm going to stop. I want you guys to come up with your own questions. Write those down.
Yeah,
in those two exercises, you just came up with your key operating numbers.
I love that. That's a great way to think about it too, because I think if you just serve it up the other way where you're like, hey, you need to know this number and that number, nobody's going to do it, right?
Because
you're boring. Like, why? You know, I don't need that. Or, you know, I'm too busy today, right? I would imagine that's got to be the number one excuse is I'm just so busy with what I have right now.
You nailed it. I can't do it.
But most contractors, they're busy because they're doing the work, right? They don't set aside the time to look at the numbers, to work on their books, to better their company. And I think that second question is definitely profound because that's the reason a lot of those construction companies fail is they can't sell it. There's no value in it. The only value in it is that you're a worker there for that company and you know how to do the thing that it is that you do, right?
Yeah.
You haven't created anything of value.
You can't sell it. I always say you can't sell your business because it's not viable.
Correct. Yep.
Nobody's going to buy it.
Yep.
What do you got? A couple of nail guns and a truck? No offense. Good for you. But that's a declining asset value. And you've got a forward contract knowing you're going to frame another 10 houses. I'll pay a certain amount for that, but probably not the amount you want to retire on. And so that's why people listen to my show is to learn how to be a business person who happens to be contract. It doesn't matter if you make pools or install skylights. It's always the same. It's about the business of running a business.
Absolutely. That makes a ton of sense. And, you know, I think a lot of businesses, you know, especially in the trades, they don't do that. They need to hear that. So that's great. And I want to give you props again for doing that because there's a huge, huge market out there for, for that and making sure that they run it like a company and they build it like a company instead of treating it like a job.
Yeah. So, and some people want to treat it like a job. That's okay. But they're probably not going to listen to my show or yours.
Probably not. Yeah. Probably not. Some people we're not going to be able to fix, right? Well, that's fantastic. So one other thing that you've done, that which is really exciting, and I want to make sure that we talk about it a little bit. You wrote a book, Construction Millionaire Secrets.
Right.
So having just done a book myself, what inspired you to do it? And what's that all about?
So the book has been sitting on my hard drive for way too long, and I finally decided to do it. I have a coach. You might be surprised that as a professional business coach,
a coach needs a coach, right?
A coach needs a coach. I would be very cautious of ever talking to a coach who doesn't have their own coach.
Yeah, because
I can't see my own blind spots. I can't cut my own hair or do my own dental work, right?
Absolutely.
So my coach is like, well, how's that working for you? I'm like, I should probably publish it. So I did. It's called Construction Millionaire Secrets. And I always joke that if a contractor, like somebody else listening, had written that book, they would have called it Stuff I Learned the Hard Way.
Okay, there you go.
Because that's really what it is. I've had the benefit of not only being a contractor myself, but I've also built and sold two businesses that by any estimation would be very successful. And I'm very happy with my exits selling. But in working with contractors and all around the world, I mean, I've worked with contractors in Brazil, in South America. I've worked with people in Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, the rest of the UK, obviously United States, Canada.
That's amazing, yeah.
And because everybody works in their own bubble, because they're in Memphis or because they're in Minneapolis or because they're in Toronto, they think that's the only place in the world. It's not, right?
Correct, yep.
And so the lessons, I started to see patterns in the lessons. So I just was scribbling them down in my coaching notes. And that's what became the 20 simple secrets. You know, things like tracking your revenue responsibility per hour, having a simple strategic plan, the exercise. We just get the simple exercise.
That's fantastic stuff. And you know, isn't it funny how you could be talking to a business in South America or United States or Canada, and the problems are pretty much the same, right? The businesses might be different. The owners are different, but the problems are always the same, aren't they?
Yeah. Do you know the most wide ranging problem that I ever see in construction businesses?
Sure. What is it?
Family businesses.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. That is a TV show in the making.
Yes.
If you could follow my life and all the family business I deal with, and I don't give things away for confidentiality, but like every time I deal with a family business, it's another jaw dropping situation.
Yeah. There's always something, and it's always a mess. And I know too well, I've had family business, and it's, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, right? There's the blessing is sometimes that you get to be with your family who you love, but that also can be the curse because sometimes that blinds you from the obvious, and it definitely takes away from running it as a business.
Yeah.
And
it's a delicate dance. It's so delicate. And thankfully I've been doing this for many, many years. I can't say that I've got the perfect systems for it, but I understand, you know, I can empathize, and there are things you can do proactively to make it better.
Absolutely. So
the thing you can't do is ignore it, and it's not going away.
Yep. No, that's very true. And having lived through it, and I fully understand it, and I appreciate people like you with the patience that you have to deal with that, because that can be challenging and it can be taxing on not only the family, but even on a coach too, I would imagine, because it's, you know, there's a lot of personal stuff sometimes that goes on there and mental hurdles that you have to get through to get past that stuff.
Yeah.
So makes a lot of sense. So this has been great information. How would somebody get a hold of you if they wanted to get more information? Let us know about your podcast, where they can hear you. And, you know, if they want to reach out to you and ask you questions, where do they do that?
So, you know, I'm on social media so much that if you can't find me, you're not looking. I hate to say it, but so my name is Dominic Rubino, and feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn if you use that platform. But I have a couple of websites. Oh, the book. By the way, the book is free, so somebody could connect me through the book. It's called ConstructionMillionaireSecrets.com. And then just go /PDF, and you can download the book within seconds. It's just a PDF that comes to you. If you want to listen to the podcast, if they enjoy your podcast, and I enjoy your podcast, so I'm sure they would.
Thank you.
Hopefully enjoy mine, because we're very aligned. Then the one podcast is called Profit Tool Belt. And it's profit like money, not like church. P-R-O-F-I-T, right? And then the other one is called Cabinet Maker Profit System. And the only people listening to that are in the finished wood trades. But you'd be amazed how many people are in the finished wood trades, from log playgrounds to people that are building commercial work for law offices and hospitals to people doing kitchen cabinets. It's a humongous market.
That's fantastic. And we'll definitely drop that in the show notes as well too. So that way, if you're maybe a little more lazy, as we started to talk about earlier, can just click the link, right? Well, once again, I want to say thank you to Dominic Rubino for being on the Home Building Hero podcast. It's been absolutely insightful, and this was a lot of fun. So thank you for sharing so many different secrets, and definitely we'll make sure to get some of this out to our trades because they all can use a little help sometimes.
Yeah, as we all can. Yeah, thanks, David.
All right, thanks, Dominic.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Pella Windows and Doors Studio of Wisconsin. I am David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. And before you leave, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon.